gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, you can tell we're getting ready to do TV. This is entirely too much light for one of my advanced years in a baseball cap. What the hell?
Yikes.
What the hell happened?
That's,
We're showing up in TiVos already, where I guess we're supposed to start next Monday.
Yeah.
On Current.
Yep. So you can set your season passes to tape us every morning?
Unless Jim says any number of things this week, and then you never know.
Yeah. You're fired. We'll
never. That would be exciting for me. I've never been pre-fired, and I'm...
There's the first time for everything, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Al Gore.
I'm thinking if Danny Bonaducci isn't available, Gallagher, he's feeling a lot better.
Oh, he's out of his coma.
And telling jokes.
Jim Louise. Oh.
Poor Gallagher.
All right. Okay. All right.
We should probably say Gallagher had a heart attack. Just before one of his shows, and he was in a medically induced coma. But he's out of that medically induced coma now. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. I guess that was just enough time. I brought some fruit I could smash in his honor because of his speedy recovery. Okay.
And we're glad he's feeling better.
Yes. Thank you, Jim. All right. 7 minutes after the hour. Another big Monday show. Wow, have I had a weekend. I've had a big weekend. And here's the thing that, you know, is my life remains really sad and small when you think about it. Because I went to a big human rights campaign event Saturday night.
Okay.
You know, one of those big gay dudes.
Sure.
Galas. Hosted by Chelsea Handler. Charlize Theron got an award.
Bet you Rosie O'Donnell wasn't there. She's had a bad weekend.
Okay. Can we just focus on the positive?
Accentuate the positive.
Listen, someone, many, many canceled television shows, I feel her pain.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when Oprah cancels you stay canceled. Trust me.
You found that out.
I may give Rosie a jingle. Trust me.
Well, you had two shows on Oprah's network.
Yes, she's like, you get a show, and you get another show,
so and
now you're
fired. You get canceled.
Rosie won't be invited to the meadow?
I don't know. All right, can I get to my story? So yes. Here's how sad and small my life is, so you know the highlight of my weekend? Talking to Chris Matthews. He was
fair enough.
He got an award at the Big Do Saturday night, and you could tell that us political geeks just band together.
For a human rights campaign award?
Yes, he and his wife. He and his lovely wife got awards for, I don't know what the name of the award was.
Has he gone out of his way to help the gay?
That's what I was wondering, but he and his wife have.
Which one? Okay.
Yes. But anyway, we were at this big Hollywood do, and Chris Matthews and I were just having a political geek out about brokered conventions and not since my dad and Goldwater and Rockefeller, and they had to pry us apart.
Yeah, all you have to do is mention your dad and Goldwater to him, and he just goes off. Yeah.
Oh, he's a political savant. We were just in heaven. You could tell we were away from politics for 2 minutes at this Hollywood thing, and you could tell like he knew like no one else like talked politics there, so he was just, we were like cemented to each other. For like a half an hour. And Lisa's like, he loves you. I'm like, I now he does.
Yeah, well, he didn't love you for about a year or two there.
I think he's totally forgotten about it. You can tell, he's like, you can tell he just, nobody else, he goes, no one else, he understands politics. All right. Oh, and here's the other thing. I don't think he's aware of a lot because he's like, are you gay? I'm like, yes. This is my girlfriend, Lisa.
He's busy. He has his daily show and he has his
weekend
show.
But you can tell he's for the equality because he was like, okay, fair enough. Didn't faze him at all. He's like, okay. He had no idea.
I approve in a really loud way.
Fair enough.
That's not much of a right-wing tool now, is it?
No.
Don't say those words again.
No, he was really sweet to me.
Certainly don't play
okay,
that drop.
Okay, wait. I got to put my finger over this. Here's the cutest thing. I brought a prop for the Ustream.
Okay.
I brought a prop because I just thought this was the cutest thing ever. I have to put my finger over it so I can't. Okay, he gave me his card. Isn't that the cutest?
Aww.
Okay, first of all, and it says Christopher Matthews, anchor, Hardball with Chris Matthews. I just love that he has cards. Like, I don't know. I'm like, oh.
And you are?
I watch him every day. I was like, oh, thank you. And he's like, I like you. Here, take my card. It was the cutest little thing.
I don't even think he knows that you've talked to him before.
I don't think he has any. And then I'm thinking, he was just on the radio show 2 weeks ago. What does he think? I don't know how to call him. I was like, oh, thank you. It's his official card.
MSNBC.
How cute is it? Look. Christopher Matthews, host, Hardball. I thought that was the cutest thing. I think that takes real humility. He's like, here, I have a television
show. Did you give him yours?
I don't have cards.
Don't you know who I am?
Anyway, all right. It was just...
That's your card. Don't you know who I am?
There, take my card. Yeah, he was he was adorable. All right, and his wife is really pretty and smart, and it was, anyway. All right, and then, I don't know what is going on. So last week, we got into a bit of a do, didn't we?
Which do? Well, we got into many do's.
Well, over the C word, meaning cracker.
Oh, yes.
Who knew? What the? I just said that we were having the primary in Crackerland. You know, okay. So and then remember, right when caller called and said, mm-hmm. that's as racist as the N-word? I'm like, no.
Computer says, no.
No, it's
no.
not.
No. I said, you know who thinks that? Only crackers.
Uh-huh.
So I got some of my most awesome hate mail ever. Are you allowed to hold these up to the Ustream or people can see if I'm making this up? Or?
Yeah, but don't make that mistake next week when we're on current.
Yeah. I don't think they have any idea what they're getting into.
Mm-mm.
Apparently I got called the C word a lot of times in relation to, I don't know why, that seems to have. Okay, this one from just somebody, TZSTT, so I don't know what that name is.
Okay.
Sounds like an electrical short.
Yeah.
Which sounds like what's happening in his brain. Very short, very to the point. Obama, subject line.
Mm-hmm.
How does Obama's whole taste, you stupid.
Huh. I don't think you...
C word. Okay.
Huh.
But wait, there's more.
Sure.
Okay. Stephen. This one from Stephen. Whole name here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Although his last name is...
He must be related to the former guy. Stephen writes... Oh, and this is all in caps.
Of course.
There's a lot of fury behind this one. You and your Marxist N-word Obama.
Huh. Yeah.
Without exceptions, and he goes on, this not in caps, without exceptions, Marxists are enemies of the United States Constitution, death to all Marxists, foreign and domestic.
Yeah. Wow.
So that likely includes me and the president. So maybe we should forward that one to the Secret Service.
I got that one, too. I posted it on Twitter.
Oh, did you?
Yes, just to, you know, point out the cogent debate that
did
we usually get from...
Did you get one about the taste of the...
No, I didn't get the one about the taste of the presidents. No. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to point out, you know, the cogent debate we get from the right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. That's that added to the conversation.
Yes.
Okay. So, everybody, obviously, on Facebook, speaking of which, social media, talking about this bumper sticker, this picture.
The one I showed you on Friday?
Yes.
Don't re...
Oh, yes, right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to go back on, but spelled
right.
wrong. But
yes,
spelled.
Don't renege the racist anti-Obama bumper sticker appears real.
Yes.
Because there was some date.
It is real.
Yes.
In fact, the store that sold it was tracked down, but then it mysteriously went offline over the weekend.
Yes. Oh, and guess what? It belongs to an anonymous owner based in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Huh.
Who would have thought that sort of thing would have come from Arizona? Jan Brewer. I don't know for sure. It's anonymous. We don't know.
I would have thought it would have come
Joe
from
Arpaio. We don't know. Stop throwing mindless allegations out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. An image purporting to show a racist anti-Obama bumper sticker on the back of a vehicle has been garnering lots of attention on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
In smaller print below, it says, Stop Repeat Offenders. Don't Re-elect Obama. The sticker also features an image of the Obama campaign logo crossed out. Some viewers had claimed the image had been digitally altered. So the Yahoo saying, is the image authentic? In short, yes.
Yes,
I don't know why. Why? That's so shocking. We haven't seen any racism in relation to the president before now. Of course it's real.
One was kind of shocking in that someone actually
put it on their car. Yeah.
I didn't know people still did that.
Unclear if the image of the vehicle has been altered in any way, but a website called Stumpy Stickers... offers the bumper stickers and along with several other racially insensitive items for sale as well.
Oh,
I'm guessing they're
racially
selling
insensitive items are us.
Why do I think Ellie's this and that has some of these on the counter?
Next to the Mammy salt and pepper shakers
in Blount County, Alabama.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The urban myth debunking site Snopes says it cannot determine the origins of the photo, but also points out the availability of other similar T-shirts and bumper stickers
in Crackerland.
Yes, mostly in Crackerland. Send some of your C-word emails to Jim Ward at StephenMiller.com just to give me a break.
Don't send them to me.
Okay. All right. So, wow, lots to get to, including You know what? It's just, it's not often I get a Monday. I start out with a, not one, but two C-word hate letters.
And you're hungover.
Bunch of, ooh, am I ever. Yikes. Boy, howdy. All right. It's Puerto Rican style momentum. We'll talk about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Okay, then.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. Stop turning on sources of light in the studio that I was not informed of. This is terrifying.
They were here on Friday night.
There's some giant thing behind me that's like a Klieg light.
It is.
I was hoping it was a green screen so they could put you on a surfboard or something like Gidget.
No.
Yes, they can green screen me into a bikini or something. All right. Oh, dear. 1-800.
Yeah.
1-800.
Apparently, TV is very different from radio.
It's a lot brighter.
It is a lot brighter.
Yeah, we were told there'd be no excess light, that this is just a reality show, turn on the cameras, fly on the wall.
Whatever.
I don't...
And Stephanie, we only have two of the TV lights turned on. There are two more.
I know. You know what? I'm going to be forced to do LASIK on Jim.
Darkness is your friend when it's sick at 6 in the morning.
I'm going to do LASIK on Jim, just because there's enough light for it. I'm not particularly qualified, but... Why? This is a waste of light.
Well, might as well do surgery. What?
Hey.
Kai in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kai.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling about the momentum we just had in Rockford, Illinois yesterday.
Home of Cheap Trick.
Yeah, he was at a machine shed restaurant, and we knew where he was going to be because they parked their big John Deere tractor out front, and... I thought he was going to ride the tractor and tell everybody how he was a farmer and how he was going to try to pander to us. But he just stood on a trailer behind it, and it was about a five-minute speech outside, and then he went inside. But I was parked there for about 4 hours with my car that has, for about 2 or 3 weeks now, been painted just top to bottom, bumper to bumper with Obama campaign things, nice and bright.
Awesome.
And I was being threatened at this rally that I was disgusting and that it was pathetic. And every time these women would walk by and say, you know, that's disgusting, you know, birth control and get out of my bedroom and things like that, that's disgusting. I said, well, would you like to talk about it? Because, you know, this is about you. We're voting for you. And they ended up posting policemen by my car because I was getting threats about baseball bats, you know, and oh, we're going to egg you if you walk away. And you know,
yeah, apparently you had the wrong kind of Obama bumper stickers, the kind that are not racially insensitive.
Right.
Yeah, the anti-Obama racist ones. It really is like there's two. You'd think he was kissing another dude, like at the Santorum rally. There's like two Americas, Jim. It's really, did you see this? Well, first of all, the gayest picture ever of Rick Santorum over the weekend in Sanders.
Really?
Shirtless in Puerto Rico?
Yeah,
that's
God.
Really.
And it was taken by a bunch of gays on a gay cruise.
Yes, yes. Did you see that? That was the, this weekend's Republican primary hilarity brought to you by... Yes, Rick said, you know, you're wondering, is this picture real? It's him lounging shirtless.
Mm-hmm.
I just think I'm going to buy it.
Yes, and apparently a gay cruise happened to be going by at the same time, so someone has snapped a photo. He did acknowledge it was not a pretty sight. He said, I probably should lose 15, 20 pounds. It's not a pretty sight. So you have to give him credit for some self-awareness. All right, meanwhile, so did you see this? He was, Rick Santorum supporters... Enraged as two male hecklers interrupted his rally by kissing each other.
Yep.
The crowd erupted in boos as the security guards quickly surrounded them and ushered them out of the assembly before it got ugly. The aggravated attendees were thrown into a frenzy and began screaming USA, USA in the protesters' face because I guess there's no gays allowed in there.
USA.
So
right.
That was... The two rabble rousers would not reveal whether they were gay.
I'm
guessing... They said it was Santorum's anti-gay policies that really mattered, so I don't, you know.
What does that even mean, USA? What are you,
right.
Huh?
It means a Rick Santorum's USA with no gays.
With no gays.
Yeah.
Completely devoid of the gay.
The gay, exactly.
Call it commie land. That's for they so like that mean, people like God. You.
So does that mean gay supporters like Chris Matthews would be banned from
apparently,
the USA?
Apparently, yes. Right? Not fair enough. yeah, I was.
That's changing to USC, the United States of Crackers.
I saw just a picture of a Rick Santorum, or what do you call it, a Mitt Romney rally. It just says everything you need to know. Like, people behind him not really even listening. They're just kind of like, oh. And he's in his pathetic latest, I don't know what they are, mom jeans or something. Like, something that looks like
surprised
he's trying to
coveralls ride look, in on a tractor.
Yeah, look like a regular guy.
Oh, I'm a regular, my friend.
And then, meanwhile, these the
what
difference
kind of
when
loafers
you,
go with coveralls?
When you even look at pictures of the president rallies or whatever, it's just hilarious. Like we were saying last week, all the montage of everyone yelling "I love you" to
yeah.
Obama, which I don't. I'm just guessing that has never happened at a Mitt Romney rally. Maybe somebody went, "I you're seem
hey,
barely
you're,
adequate and somewhat electable.
You're less offensive than I thought you would be."
You're, right. President Obama, meanwhile, so did you see President Obama over the weekend celebrated St. Patrick's Day, but with a quick trip to a popular Washington, D.C. Irish bar, and with surrounded by hundreds of excited partiers. A great cheer went up from the patrons under the tent at Dubliner's Sidewalk Terrace. Another cheer went up from the drinkers one door down at Irish Times. The president got more raucous cheers as he walked in. On two occasions, hundreds of partiers sent up cries of four more years, and there was a raucous USA, USA.
There you go.
Now, see, there's a
that
real USA.
Sense.
There's the president of the USA.
Uh-huh.
People are genuinely excited to see him.
At least they weren't screaming, Ireland, Ireland, Ireland.
I think
speak English. No, stop speaking Irish. See, if Rick Santorum was there, this would not have gone down this way.
No, it would have ended
yeah.
in
but I mean, seriously,
gays kissing.
Just like people, you just look at the pictures. People were genuinely thrilled and excited to see him. Can you imagine? That was Mitt Romney. He would have done something awkward. He would have just,
oh wow,
Aaron Gobra. My goodness, look at all the green. Why heavens? Why isn't this festive? Something. You know what I'm saying? The most awkward man in the world would have been something incredibly
yeah,
awkward.
I see the beef, but where's the corn? I don't understand how...
Your shamrocks are exactly the right height. Okay, well, everybody, thanks for coming.
Your leprechauns are exactly the right height. Where's the pot of gold? That's what I care about.
Yeah.
I'm not awkward at all.
29 minutes after the hour. Rick Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
There is a special place in hell for people like you.
Oh, dear. Rick Santorum chiming in.
Thank you, Ricky. It is the Steph. Put your shirt on. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Ew. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, it's Monday, everybody.
Lee Poppet, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Papa.
Good morning.
How are you, sweet?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. A lot of, you know, as you, I don't know if you heard, I have two hate emails, both calling me the C word, which apparently...
Caucasian?
Well, that,
I heard, and yeah. I heard there was some, I don't know which hole in President Obama you were tasting, but...
now... Yeah, apparently, I don't know, now they're dropping the guys that only the left wing is sexist because of Bill Maher, as you write about in your, yeah, so apparently they don't, that's okay to use that language when they're, you know, making a point to a left wing person.
Right, right. That's, you mean that's what I'm saying? Is that?
Well, no, well, you didn't, interesting Nexus thing. You said Fox News mentioned the word ultrasound once in the last month. However, the name Bill Maher appears on 48 different segments. I mean, it is incredible, right?
Oh, it is. It is. It's okay to attack words, but let's not even bother with actions.
Yeah. You're right. In other words, the right-wing commentary is way more concerned about assaultive words for vagina than actual physical assaults on them. I mean, it really that's really the crux of it.
Right. In fact, there was no mention of transvaginal ultrasounds, the kind with the 6 to 8 inch condom-covered probe being thrust into the vagina.
Yes. We had a right-wing woman call last week and tell me that I should watch my language and not say transvaginal probe. So really, it's me.
Right.
Yes. By naming a medical device.
Yes. Yes. Well, you should just say probe, so that you know, because everybody will automatically associate it with transvaginal.
Sure.
Or maybe they thought you were saying transsexual, and it just made them very uncomfortable.
We should say transvirginal.
Something.
Not after the probe.
And by the way, I don't know, did you guys see Omar this past week? I mean, first of all, Jim, he made the point that you did. He's not a Democrat.
Right.
He is not a Democrat. I mean, that's the incredible thing about them trying to use him as a poster child for, you know, the opposite of Rush Limbaugh or whatever, right?
Right. And, you know, if you've been in movies like DC Cab, you get to, you know, I think you've established pretty clearly you're an entertainer. Well, actually, no, you haven't at that point.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's interesting that we were talking, I think you mentioned this, too, that they're talking about words he called Sarah Palin, first of all, in his stage show, which, I mean, if that is supposed to be the last bastion of free speech, isn't it?
Yeah, if they came to your stage show.
I mean, I was just going to say, but there isn't a stand-up comic I know that doesn't use, you know, different language when they're doing stand-up sometimes.
That's right. But now, because things get recorded and everything, and it instantly goes out, somebody tweets about it, and it automatically goes out, and the outrage machine cranks up, and we're off to the races again.
Yep. But anyway, I mean, that's the point we keep making. It's their actual policies that are so assaultive of women, and it's incredible.
It's incredible that there's no that other than Lisa Murkowski having that change of heart when women in Alaska realized how appalling it was that she voted for the Blunt Amendment. There's been very few women on the right that have been calling out Republicans for their attacks on women.
Yeah.
I mean, John McCain this past weekend said that enough with this war on women. I mean, he voted for the Blunt Amendment, but even he said, look, we're just going to alienate a bunch of voters here, which of course is really the reason why you don't want to have a war on women.
Yeah, well, I mean, but as you write about, too, the right can't stop attacking Sandra Fluke. I mean, it really is unbelievable.
This story has lasted so much longer because the right just needs to discredit her. They have to discredit her so badly because that way anything she says will have been proven invalid, rather than to just say, okay, we're cutting Rush loose.
Yeah.
They cannot quit Rush.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what the story is. That's what I was saying about that's why even, you know, advertiser-wise and all of this stuff that's happening, it's because the Sean Hannity of the world didn't stand up and go, he's my friend, but this was wrong.
Right.
You know, it's because you're right. They will defend anything he says or does, and that's why, you know, decent people went, no, that's not right.
No, and Hannity has been one of the biggest proponents of, been one of the biggest people attacking Marr, bringing on Kristen Power, who's ostensibly a liberal, to attack Marr,
mm-hmm.
and she's actually wrote something for the Daily Beast attacking a bunch of left-wing men for sexist language. But again, it just gets away from the point of what she was talking about. You know, I don't think. Yes, it was what Rush said was ridiculous and over the top and degrading, but nobody's addressing the content of what Rush was talking about, which is something he never apologized for.
Yeah, exactly right. The whole premise of it. By the way, did you guys also see the second Alexander Pelosi?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is again my point about he's not a Democrat. I mean, he has said over and over he's an independent, and he obviously makes fun of both sides equally.
Oh, the welfare one. Yeah.
But it was to prove a point that, you know, you go, okay, well, this was biased against, rednecks in the South, and obviously it was the same thing that, you know, she went outside the welfare office, and it was largely black people that were saying things that, you know, and how do you think Fox News is going to handle that, by the way?
Right? No, well, Breitbart.
They won't bring it up.
Right.
I'll tell you this, Breitbart.com is thrilled. They're like, and of course, the angle they're taking is that HBO executives wanted to kill it. But, I mean, that was just one of the playful things they were talking about on Mar's show.
Right.
And, but they were praising Alexandra Pelosi. And even saying Nancy Pelosi's daughter, and that it was sort of a through the looking glass kind of thing of the praise they were giving because she made black people look bad.
Well, I mean, but I think that, you know, the point of it is, I think, you know, what she was saying, I mean, there obviously are stupid, lazy people, black people, white people in all different parts of the country, you know.
Right. I mean, my first reaction when she did the piece in Mississippi was, okay, yeah, but,
right,
you know, go to Oxford, go to Jackson, go to, you
right.
know, at least they'll have a mouth of teeth. They may say the same thing, but, you know, at least they won't be sharing the one tooth among themselves.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you know, I think it actually made an interesting point, though, didn't it, in that, you know, the toothless guy is taking the government handouts, and some of the black people in the second film were taking government handouts.
Right, right.
And, her point was those the ones in the South are the ones voting against their self-interest, right?
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're going to take the money from the government, then don't sit there and condemn the government. At least the people on that welfare line were being more forthright about and more honest about what they wanted, what their goal was, instead of saying I deserve it, like the guy in the Mississippi video.
Yeah. Yeah, he said. Well, I mean, he's contradicted himself in the same sentence, didn't he? He said, you know, I don't want any, you know, anything from the government. And it's like, but you get food stamps. He's like, well, yeah, but I deserve it because there's no one for me.
Well,
the government's obviously for you. That's where you're getting your food stamps.
Well, I mean, the asininity of so many of those beliefs. I actually went to the Stumpy stickers site.
Oh, yeah, oh boy. Before
oh,
it was taken down?
Before, Stumpy's got taken down.
They got taken down, yeah.
Stumpy!
I know. Poor Stumpy.
In this economy. Oh.
Yeah, the don't renege sticker was there, and that was, you know, that was charming. But the other thing that was there were these pro pot stickers and fake coins.
Okay.
So it was a pro marijuana racist. It was truly, truly on so many levels the most redneck site I've ever seen. and even better, I don't know if you got a chance to look at it. Even better, it had vintage stickers of Budman from the 1970s and 80s. You could buy.
Really?
Yep, you could buy sheets of Budman. And for people who don't know Budman, this is pre Spuds McKenzie.
Yeah,
right.
Was a caped hero that. Drank Budweiser.
I think I had posters of Budman on my college, on my freshman dorm room wall.
Yep.
Good
yep.
Lord.
Good
so
God.
This was the, and then also a Willie Nelson for president or something like that sticker, which I just want to say, do you know Willie Nelson's politics?
It kind of sounds like it's like a cafe press of stickers.
Stumpy was very proud and upfront about it. Stumpy even had a link to the First Amendment, so you understood where Stumpy was coming from.
Well, then.
Sure.
All right.
All right. Rude, what? So Santorum says if he wins Illinois, he wins the nomination. You know, he sidestepped the brokered convention question again.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you've always said it's Mitt. It's always been Mitt. It's always going to be Mitt. What do you think?
Oh, you know what? I actually love what Santorum's response to Romney's campaign saying it would be an act of God. It would take an act of God for Santorum to win.
Yeah.
And Santorum, you know, plays the Catholic card. You know,
yes.
I don't know about him, which of course is an attack on him being a Mormon. But I believe in acts of God.
Oh boy.
So yeah. So I guess that's I read that as a subtle wish for, you know, Mitt to.
Yeah,
I don't know, to take a ride on the roof of a car.
Yes, he did. He played the God Warrior card. You're right.
He did. This is going to be that slow, grudging Obama Clinton death march to the delegates to accumulate delegates, and you know, by June or so, that's when Romney will win.
Yeah,
I think what is it that somebody would have to win at least 48%. In every primary and caucus from here on out,
yeah.
In order to defeat Romney.
Yeah. I mean, it really is incredible, though, isn't it? I was reading an article yesterday where just his approval ratings have just gone down and down and down as this goes on. You just have to go, oh, my God, I can't even imagine. And we haven't even started the general yet.
Oh, he's got to be sitting there going, oh, God, please just let this be over so I can go back to what I, what I'm supposed to actually be believing.
Yeah.
You know, so I can veer back towards something of the center.
Oh, God, which is going to make him, I mean, if it's possible for him to look like more of a flip-flopper, it's just going to be a beauty, a thing of beauty.
Oh, it is. And it's going to be like a diver doing contortions in the air before gracefully hitting the water.
His rudeness, rudepundit.blogspot.com. Thank you, honey. See you next week.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye now. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay. So you're
Stephanie Miller.
That don't impress me much. Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eric Bollert for Media Matters coming up at the top of the hour for Right Wing World. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free. Check it out for 30 days. GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Hello, Dave in Illinois.
Hi, how's it going, Stephanie?
Good. Are you prepared for your Centaurum surge?
I am prepared and
mm-hmm.
ready.
Mm-hmm. Good, good, good.
I was going to tell you, speaking of birth control, I was looking at the front page of the newspaper this morning, and the Dugars were at Moody Bible Church this weekend in Chicago. And believe it or not, they support Rick Santorum.
Yes, yes. Who could have seen that?
Shocking.
I was shocked.
Yeah, exactly. Shocked, I tell you, shocked. Oh, by the way, Jim, I have a... Guess the quote for you. Who said a cleansing bout of craziness in 2012 could be just what the GOP needs? I'm talking about a nominee so far to the right that conservative populists got to get their fondest wish, and the Republican Party is forced to learn the result. Who said that?
Martin Bormann.
No, John Avalon in the Daily Beast in a delightful article entitled The Case for Crazy, What the GOP Would Learn by Picking Rick Santorum. Who said, but if someone like Rick Santorum gets a nomination in an upset, the party faithful will get to experience the adrenaline rush of going off a cliff together like Thelma and Louise, elation followed by an electoral thud. Who said that?
Heinrich Himmler.
No. John Avalon in the Daily Beast in the Case for Crazy. Who said, it is absurd that clownish conservative caricatures like Michelle Bachmann and Herman Cain were briefly elevated to the top of the polls, while more sober-minded presidential candidates with executive experience like Tim Pawlenty and John Huntsman Jr. failed to gain any traction. The result is the weakest Republican field in living memory.
Bachmann-Turner Overdrive. No?
No. John Avalon in the Daily Beast. Oh, and here comes the part about my father and Goldwater. Barry Goldwater's 44-state loss to Lyndon Johnson in 1964 is recast as a triumph because it allegedly led to Reagan's landslide 16 years later.
Yeah, nice try.
Goldwater, 16 years later. Goldwater would be attacked as a rhino today for his rejection of the religious right, his wife's co-founding of Planned Parenthood in Arizona, or his early support of gays serving in the military. Giving conservative activists everything they want in a presidential nominee would ultimately be clarifying for the Republican Party. It would break the fever that has afflicted American politics, turning fellow citizens against one another. It would restore a sense of balance, recognizing that it is unwise to systematically ignore the 40% of American voters who identify themselves as independent, or the 35% who are centrist. After all, a successful political party requires both wings to fly. There's nothing like losing 40 states to refocus the mind.
So moderation...
That's what you need. Go for clarity, Republicans. It's a cleansing. Go for a... It's like a...
Moderation in defense of liberty is no vice, apparently.
No, no. That's what you need is a party. A big colon blow. A big sort of...
Kablooey.
Yes. You need to... You know what? Just clarity. You need to... You're all backed up as a party. You need to... Everything out. Go for the gold. Go for Santorum.
This town needs an enema.
Carrie in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
I wanted to correct you on saying that nobody's ever yelled "I love you" to Mitt Romney at a rally.
Yes.
He did. They did once, and he had the most awkward response in the world. Y'all played it on the show.
Oh, I remember now. Go ahead.
Yeah, him saying back, "Oh, I really would like to hear that from Mrs. Romney."
Yes.
So
of course nobody's yelled it since.
No, they haven't made that mistake again. You're right, Carrie. I stand corrected.
Wow.
Did you hear?
Thank you. Yeah, he did. He went, "Oh, why? I usually." only I like to hear that from Anne. Oh, my, I'm so awkward. That seemed like some sort of outburst of emotion.
I feel very uncomfortable. I know that's unusual.
That seemed like spontaneity. That makes me all oogie. Please don't do that again.
Did you hear him awkwardly talking about pancakes this weekend?
No.
How can you talk awkwardly about pancakes?
I have it. Here.
Oh, God.
Okay, it's cute.
These are pancakes. I'm in Rosemont, Illinois.
Oh, God.
I just got these pancakes from a restaurant called Pancakes Etc. It's kind of a play on words, and pancakes apparently are very good. And a nice crowd there did Fox and Friends this morning, so we're off down to Puerto Rico.
Oh my!
Wow! Apparently, these pancakes are stacked just the right height.
That's a play on words. And,
he literally,
I don't know if you caught that,
just
but
reduced
that
to naming
a play
objects.
Play on words.
Pancakes,
cars,
et cetera.
Like cars, or like trees, lakes.
Pancakes.
Oh, pancakes.
Eggs, and pancakes.
It's a little play on words there. It's a clever.
Wow.
Yikes.
Wow. I am eating pancakes.
I'm going to name things
these
that I see.
These are pancakes.
There's a door. That's a window. That's a table, which is sitting on a floor.
Oh, God. Oh, mittens. Pandering.
I like grits.
I like seeing the lakes. I love the lakes. I love cars.
Are you just looking at things and saying that you love them?
You sit around, man, will you vote for me? It took him years to get here, and he just won't quit.
$10,000 back.
Based his campaign on a thing called Bain, and it's really lame, and he can't help, he's a pandering whiner.
I'm speaking. Anderson?
He's a pandering whiner.
So I'm running for office, for Pete's sake.
Pandering whiner.
I like grits.
I like seeing the lakes. I love the lakes. I love cars.
Are you just looking at things and saying that you love them?
Very special here. The Great Lakes, but also all the little inland lakes.
Do you really love the lamp, or are you just saying it because you saw it?
I love lamp.
Mike and Raleigh.
Yay, Mike and Raleigh.
Rock on, my friends. Wow. Okay. All right. The smartest girl in class today, Dawn. Actually, a fine Canadian, but I'm going to play fine American music for her anyway.
Well, how about that?
Unless you have O Canada.
I have
O
Canada.
Delta Dawn.
Oh, well, then let's do that. Dawn in Vancouver writes, hi,
beautiful
Mama.
City.
Thank you. I'll take credit for that. Thank you. Vancouver, I like it. Good pancakes.
The trees are just the right height.
Hi, Mama.
Stanley Park.
Some right-wing jerk called your show last week, insinuated that relatively few women actually need birth control for reasons other than pregnancy prevention. As you rightly pointed out, it shouldn't matter how many women need birth control for ovarian cysts, endometriosis, etc. But just for the record, more than 5 million women in the U.S. have endometriosis. Unfortunately, I'm one of them. An additional 5 million women suffer from polycystic ovary syndrome, another health problem that is often treated with birth control pills. 10 million is not a small number, and those are not the only illnesses that can be treated with birth control pills. I literally would not be able to function if it weren't for birth control pills. The pain from endometriosis is, in my case, truly that severe. I can't imagine what women who suffered from this illness must have gone through prior to the advent of birth control pills. It galls me that a man, any man, would tell me I shouldn't be allowed to take birth control because they find it morally objectionable, or that I'm going to be allowed to take birth control pills. I need to note a note to prove I'm not just being slutty. Who would have thought we'd have to fight for the right to use birth control pills in the 21st century? Crazy. Best wishes from a sexy, slutty, birth control, pill-popping liberal, Dawn, in Vancouver. Thank you, Dawn. You're the smartest girl in class this morning. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Eric Bolt at Right Wing World, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This hour of the show brought to you by liberalbias.com. When reality doesn't live up to right-wing ideals, there's only one explanation. Reality suffers from liberal bias. Find out more at liberalbias.com.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've been saying for years, whenever they don't like something, facts of a liberal bias.
There you go.
Math is a liberal bias.
What a perfect segue to Eric Bollard. Six minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Yeah, time for Right Wing World. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Come on, baby. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
Love your tweets, as usual. You write, okay. Is this the 46th or 47th conservative writer to offer up the but Bill Maher is bad, too, defense? Yeah. Incredible.
It's just amazing. I mean, it's they just keep typing the same thing. Like, okay, we got your point. It didn't really make sense. It's a false equivalency. That was, you know, that was sort of an interesting point on March 4th and March 5th and March 6th, maybe. But we're hurtling towards April, and they're writing the same thing over
Bill Maher said
over,
something bad. Don't you get it?
Right, and Bill Maher, I thought, made the point best when he said, you know, how did he say it about him being the head of the Democratic Party? And he goes, that which surprised me, since I'm not a Democrat. Yeah, I mean,
you know, it's a false equivalency. You know, Democrats don't have to call in or show up on Bill Maher's show to apologize whenever they say something. Members of Congress don't care about Bill Maher. Walk up and down the hallways. Every one of them will say, yeah, you know, he shouldn't say that. You can't get Republicans to say that about Rush Limbaugh because they know they're going to have to call him up. And you know, and beg his forgiveness on his forgiveness on his show. So it's a totally different thing. In the comments Maher made were on his stand up act. They weren't even on his HBO show. So, but the amazing thing is that they've had 3 weeks and that's all they've been able to come up with because they all refuse to just condemn Rush Limbaugh outright.
And well, Bill Maher has conservatives on his show all the time. I mean,
yeah, maybe
Rush
they should, you know. Yeah. The big push is, well, David Axelrod shouldn't go on and Democrats shouldn't go on. Well, if Republicans are just as offended, why are any conservatives showing up on his show?
Mm-hmm.
But they all
mm-hmm.
do. Look, they've tied themselves into a massive pretzel on all of this, and because it's their inability to say anything negative about Rush Limbaugh, which
yeah.
proves the whole point about his power.
Well, you know, and you wrote a piece about Rush, which, as you know, I being in the radio business makes me feel a little hinky because
yep.
it could be any of us, but, you
know.
You say, you quote Holland Cook, who is a talk radio consultant we all know, said, Premier's startling advertising move suggests things are worse than we know. I mean, as you say, you know, whether he survives or not, I mean, it seems likely, but it is unprecedented. What's happening?
Yeah, this is all unprecedented. I mean, you know, 3 weeks ago, who thought Rush Limbaugh would ever be, you know, reduced to going on Twitter to try to, you know, get his message across? He supposedly has 20 million listeners. Why would he need, you know, to go on Twitter? And what did he? Every single one of his tweets has been about Media Matters.
Yeah.
This poor guy is obsessed with his nonprofit website, and every one of his tweets has been about Media Matters. So, yes, will he survive? Who knows? You know, people thought, oh, Glenn Beck will be on TV for 10 years. He's not. But, you know, a month ago, who thought Rush Limbaugh would be, you know, scurrying around linking to Media Matters sites and that all his Dittohead fans would be, you know, celebrating because they might have one new advertiser. You know, he is taking a huge hit. This is the biggest hit of his career, PR, economic-wise. This has done massive damage.
And you point out, you know, Clear Channel, of course, has massive debt. Thank you, Bain Capital and Mitt Romney. But, I mean, it is an interesting, as you point out, they pay him $38 million a year or approximately $750,000 a week. I can speak for all of us. We'd do it for half that. We really would.
Yeah.
We'd be happy to.
I mean, you know, you're in the business. Clear Channel has laid off, sent people over at least 3,000 people to the beach over the last
many of them
years.
Friends of mine. Yes,
absolutely. And they're in trafficking, and they're in sales, and they're online. I mean, they're disc jockeys. They Clear Channel in the last 5 or 10 years has fired more people than most companies ever dream of hiring. And there's Rush Limbaugh making $38 million a year, losing advertisers faster than anyone. Look, there was a piece in the Washington Post today quoting, you know, radio insiders who are not happy about boycotts. They love Rush Limbaugh. They're saying this is going to cost Clear Channel for months. That money may not ever come back.
Yeah, well, I mean, I speak for me. I think they should look for advertiser-friendly things like
Stephanie Miller.
You know, maybe expand into progressive talk a little more.
Maybe.
Yes.
I mean, Clear Channel, to its credit, has done a little bit of that. 5-10 years ago, it was 99% right-wing radio.
Right.
They have tried to expand because they think they realize it's good for business. But they are a company that has $19 billion in debt, and they gave Rush Limbaugh a 40% raise a couple years ago when no one else was in any position to hire him away. And now he's, you know, he's losing money for them.
Well, and, you know, the one thing you point out that is interesting is the Mike Huckabee's new radio show is going to start being offered in April or something. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, you don't. Go ahead.
That's being distributed by Cumulus Media, which has Limbaugh on their flagship stations in New York, in Chicago, in Dallas. They can't just flip a switch and put Huckabee on April 14th. It's probably at least 90-day or if not more contract. But, I mean, if Rush got kicked off those flagship stations in those markets, you know, I talked to people in the radio business that, you know, that that would be a huge, huge hit. He wouldn't be able to get on similar type big AM stations in those markets right away. It would be a real damage to his prestige, and this is things that these are type of scenarios that, again, a month ago, no one was ever talking about in terms of Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, I mean, just based on my knowledge of the radio business, it's still going to be tough, Eric. I mean, I think I mean, it just, that's the thing. There are, as you, basically the point you make, there are so many conservative stations, you know, that... It is awfully hard when you have 600 stations to have, all of them,
absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway.
But, you know, the traffic department has a massive headache. They're trying to keep track of who doesn't want to be on a show. And the whole point of syndication is it's supposed to be kind of easy for your station, you know? And this is no longer easy. They're having all these lists, who has to be off the show, who wants to be on the show. They're running PSAs all the time. And they're losing some major advertisers. And Clear Channel says, they told the New York Times, well, we're just going to move these ads off Limbaugh. We're going to put them in other Clear Channel programs. Well, when you put them in other Clear Channel programs, you're bumping ads from those Clear Channel programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it is
lost revenue.
As I speak to you from our flagship Clear Channel affiliate here in Los Angeles, there is only one solution, and that is
Stephanie Miller.
An advertiser-friendly environment for
That's right.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. Dana Perino on The Five.
Yep.
Oh, this is on more people, kids needing to live at home.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That age group, 18 to 25, is very spoiled.
Yes.
And they got a lot of extra stuff.
Oh.
So they don't want to go and live on their own where they're not going to have all that extra stuff that mom and dad have provided all those years. So it's like, you know, if you live in a McMansion and you have your own room down in the basement and you have your in and out privileges and you have your car taken care of, then why would you leave?
Ah, I see. It doesn't have to do with the economy caused largely by George W. Bush.
They're just lazy kids. Sounds like she was talking about her own country club upbringing.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, this trend is hardly new. It's not under Obama, and it you know, the unemployment numbers are improving. And if this idea that it's human nature to want to live with your parents,
I don't uniquely
think
American.
Proven.
Yeah. Same age as my mother. Okay, thank you, George Bush.
Uniquely European.
I mean, right.
Generations of living in the same house. That's.
Oh, no, Sean Hannity didn't say this, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you someone at Media Matters might be able to find the clip of Rush Limbaugh making fun of Chelsea Clinton when she was 12.
Mm. Talking about kids, now, Maher also went after Senator Santorum's kids. He's gone after Governor Palin's kids. You know, I don't know any conservatives that would ever go after the president's kids. And if they did, I'd be the first to criticize them.
No, and there's
a total...
Leave
these kids alone. Yeah. And yet, what does it say about President Obama? He keeps the $1 million in his pack, doesn't say to get rid of it, won't criticize Maher, calls Sandra and then the first lady goes on Letterman.
What? What does that
connect
have to do with anything?
If you dare.
What?
Yeah.
Say again, Eric. Sorry.
Connect those dots if you dare.
Yeah.
The PAC thing is interesting because the right wing, again, this is all, you know, the fascinating thing about Rush Limbaugh calling a college student a slut and going on a 3-day smear campaign against this young woman is it turns out this real story is about Bill Maher. So there's been right wing push. Why won't Obama send back that $1 million that Bill Maher donated? Why won't he give it back? it would be illegal. He gave the money to a PAC. By law, the White House, of course, cannot tell a PAC to do anything. So this is sort of this false argument. Sean Hannity has never in his life stood up for anyone that's been under attack from a right-wing smear, including children of Democratic presidents.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen attacks on the Obama kids, and famously, Rush Limbaugh attacked Chelsea Clinton in a rather disgusting way.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Steve Forbes on Fox and Friends.
You can bail out anything for except the U.S. government for $80 billion. But when you tear up contracts and do things like that, they shafted the creditors, shafted non-union workers, shafted a lot of auto dealers. It was a political payoff. That's what they do in Argentina, not in the United States of America.
Wow. You just wonder, how could you make this a spectacular success for auto rescue a failure? Well, there you go.
It's just like, yeah, I mean, well, look, they're committed to this regardless. I mean, they were against it. They wanted these, you know, they wanted these unions to fail desperately, really driven by an anti-union obsession and hatred. And so now even if it succeeds, they have to stick to their talking points, which was, it was a failure, even though GM is now the world's largest auto seller.
Yep, yep, exactly. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert remains in the sidecar. We continue with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Not another light. We don't need any more lights in here.
No more light. Oh, now you tell me. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. Yeah, I didn't. That's why I don't like television. Too many lights. Too much light. Entirely too much light. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Eric Bollert from Media Matters remains in the sidecar. Oh, my goodness, a little blast from the past. Rush Limbaugh in on 1988, Eric.
I will not make fun of, nor will I tolerate anybody else to make jokes about the Lord. Or I will not allow any jokes about anybody's religion. I will not allow jokes about people's ethnic background or racial background.
Huh. Wow.
Interesting.
He's kind of reneged on that, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That probably lasted a week.
He sounds so principled.
Yeah.
And young. And young.
88. Yeah, yeah. Right. That's when he was probably just a local jock out in California when he was first making waves.
He was actually just starting on WABC. That was on a local Connecticut public access talk show.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, funny. Yeah. Before Ed McLaughlin turned him into a billionaire.
Exactly.
So, those are all out the window. And it's funny, you know, I talked to Valerie Geller, who's another radio consultant, and she's been quoted in some other pieces. And what she said was very, you know, she's a fan of his and knows him. But she made an interesting point where the show used to be fun. The show used to be entertaining and interesting, and he would talk about other things. I mean, this is a kind interpretation, I think. But she says you don't see that anymore. You don't get that from the focus groups. I don't agree with him, but he's entertaining. All that has disappeared, particularly since Obama was inaugurated.
Eric, interesting.
That show has become so angry and so hateful.
Yeah, Eric, interesting. I have heard a lot of right-wing friends of mine say that. It is interesting that Rush used to be really funny, because the one thing I agree with Bill Maher about, like, you just watch that whole Sandra Fluke thing, and you're like, that, and the people that were defending him, always an entertainer, always using satire,
right.
And I'm like going, really? Was that supposed to be funny? I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not.
And her point was, you know, he used to talk about other things. It wasn't 100% political, maybe 80-85%, maybe talk
about
sports.
Personal
life. Yeah,
right.
And now it's just relentless and it's hateful, and people in the industry have noticed that it's a whole different thing now.
Yeah, I I've always said I don't begrudge him his success. I think he's a great broadcaster, but I know that's what I mean, Bill Maher made the point, please stop calling him a comedian. Still, he does 2 hours on stage and doing stand-up. Don't call him a comedian. All right, Haley Barbour on ABC's This Week.
Terrible energy policy for 3 years has brought about very high gasoline prices and other energy prices. When you've had 3 years of terrible policy designed to drive up the cost of energy so Americans would use less of it, whether it's the Keystone XL pipeline, the moratorium in the Gulf, the least amount of offshore drilling lands available that we've had in decades, All of those things are going to lead to very high energy prices, which, after all, is what the President's Secretary of Energy called for.
Wow. Where do you start, Eric? First of all, not true at all.
Every president who has high gas prices gets blamed, and the other party blames them. Bush was getting blamed in the early 2008 when the prices spiked, and some Democrats were telling him, you know, what can you do different? What's completely unprecedented here is, you heard it from Haley Barbour, is this argument, this sort of sidebar, bizarre argument that Obama's doing all of this on purpose. He wants high gas prices.
No.
The answer's there on his desk. He just won't sign whatever paper it is. He wants people paying $5-6.
Eric, that's what Mitt Romney just said yesterday on Fox.
Yeah.
He said the president wants higher gas prices, saying it's only an election year conversation that has brought the president's concern to the issue. He said there's no question Obama is responsible for higher gas prices.
No question?
So it's working perfectly. So if this is Obama's strategy, it's working perfectly if he wants higher gas prices.
Yes.
You know, what Ed Henry asked this sort of dopey question at the press conference, Obama turned to him and said, Ed, why would any president want higher gas prices, especially during an election year? That's the part of this argument that just clues you into these people are crazy.
Yeah. I mean, Mitt Romney literally yesterday said when he ran for office, he said he wanted to see gasoline prices go up. He said that energy prices would skyrocket under his views. That is just a complete load of crap.
Because who doesn't run on a higher gas price platform?
Yeah. All right. Mike Gallagher on Fox News.
I think Democrats are also wildly out of touch. You've got Joe Biden the other night at a John Kerry soiree, dining on truffled mushrooms at a $10,000 a plate dinner and saying Republicans are out of touch with the common man. Are you kidding me? There's rank hypocrisy here.
Oh, my goodness. Could never be as in touch as Mitt Romney. Right, Eric?
First of all, truffles are mushrooms.
Right.
Secondly.
Did you see the report last week? The teardown mansion in Malibu, the new basement is going to be bigger than the entire house that he's tearing down.
Yeah.
That may seem to be a structural error.
How dare Joe Biden eat a truffle?
I know. Oh, Eric, you're having too much fun this week.
State dinners? Shocking.
We'll see you next week, Eric. Thanks so much.
All right, talk to you.
All right, there he goes. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I hope we're all waxed because you're coming with me to my interview tonight for Barbara Walters' 10 Most Overexposed People.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour.
Oof.
You're late. Go. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. All right. This is just, it's hilarious that nobody calls Mitt Romney on this just bull. He said literally the president wants gas prices to be higher, and that he said that. He ran on, apparently, I missed that part, how he wanted gas prices to be higher, and he was going to work to achieve that. What? Okay. President Obama said he feels Americans' pain at the pump. His administration is limited in its ability to lower gas prices. It's all, as Eric Bowler was just saying, the exact same people that defended George Bush on this.
Mm-hmm.
Except the president can't possibly have anything. What? What matters to me now is the impact that rising gas prices have on you, he said in his weekly address. The truth is the price of gas depends on a lot of factors that are often beyond our control. Unrest in the Middle East can tighten global oil supply. Growing nations like China or India adding cars to the road increases demand. It's easy to promise a quick fix when it comes to gas prices. There just isn't one. Anyone who tells you otherwise, note, any career politician who promises some three-point plan for $2 gas are not looking for a solution. They're looking for your vote. Newt Gingrich has a little gas pump, doesn't he, on his...
With the 250 on it, yeah.
Yeah. But has he explained how?
No.
No, he hasn't. Not at all.
He said he'd approve Keystone Pipeline and he'd drill more.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he...
Trump says we don't even need the Keystone Pipeline. We don't even need Canada's. We've got so much here. And we could get it out in
huge,
like 2 seconds if we wanted to. Yeah.
Huge amounts of oil.
Yeah. Let's see.
I've got some of it in my hair.
Yeah, lots of it in your
He's
hair.
So aggressively stupid. Seriously. He was on Hannity. We could get it out in a very quick, short period of time, Sean. Very short period of time.
Very short
we
period
even,
of time.
We don't need Canada's
time
oil.
Is it now? 3 seconds.
Yes.
That's all we need. Done.
He's a real estate developer. What does he know about the oil business?
Hey, I lost huge amounts of money in a casino. I know what I'm doing.
They're two different industries. He's a tool.
The president did have a couple ideas. He said, at a time when big oil companies are making more money than ever before, we're still giving them $4 billion of your tax dollars in subsidies every year. Your member of Congress should be fighting for you, not for big financial firms, not for big oil companies. Went on to say, as we develop more oil and gas, we're also developing wind and solar power, biofuels, next-generation vehicles, and thousands of Americans have jobs right now because of it. We need to keep making these investments because I don't want to see those jobs go to other countries. I want to create even more of them right here in America.
We can't just rely on drilling. Not when we use more than 20% of the world's oil, but still only have 2% of the world's known oil reserves. If we don't develop other sources of energy and the technology to use less energy, we'll continue to be dependent on foreign countries for our energy needs.
There you go.
Thank you. All right. So the, what do you call it? Mitt won Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's just because, probably strictly because Rick Santorum is such a nozzle.
Well, it was a big win because he got more than 50% of the vote. Therefore, he gets all of the delegates.
Because Rick Santorum is such a douche.
Yeah.
He said, speak English if you want to be a state.
Yeah, if you speak English, we might deem you worthy of becoming a state.
And maybe that shirtless picture. That also could have
been. I just think I'm going to vibe.
God, frothy shirtless. Yikes.
I just love that that picture was taken by someone on a gay cruise that was going by. Love that.
So Rick Santorum on Sunday refused to answer whether he would press for a brokered convention if nobody gets to the delegate count. He said, obviously, we're in this to win when pressed multiple times by Candy Crowley. He said, we're in this because we think we're the best candidate to take on President Obama. We believe Governor Mitt Romney is not. What I'm hearing people from people across the country is we want a conservative nominee. I think conservatives would like an opportunity to nominate a conservative. We're going to give them that opportunity. I think that's all called for brokered convention.
Yep.
I think he's basically saying yes. We hate mittens. We all hate mittens. he noted if Romney is unable to garner the required number of delegates, despite his fundraising advantage, he said, I guess that tells you something about his support within the Republican base. Yes. Yes, it does.
Computer says yes.
so the, wait, I'm sorry, this is the president?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Their philosophy is simple. Everybody's just left to fend for themselves. Yeah. If those in power could make their own rules, then somehow it's all going to trickle down to you. And they're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, how many times have we heard that? So Mitt Romney yesterday.
The idea that the president takes your money and invests it in the people who helped him in his campaign. And whether that was Solyndra or EnerOne or Fisker or Tesla, this is a political
Tesla?
Payback of a kind that really distorts the way the market works and frightens away entrepreneurs and innovators.
Huh?
Huh? Wasn't Bain sort of in the business of picking winners and losers?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't they?
Mostly losers.
And mostly.
He's talking about the government loans that were designed to help entrepreneurs. So how does that hurt entrepreneur spirit?
By hurting, I mean helping.
Oh, helping. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Yeah, Mitt just thinks you can get a loan from your dad to start up any business that you want.
Why not?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I've worked for the last 10 years without taking a salary.
Oh, come on.
I'm not embarrassed about being successful, but I'm embarrassed for people who think there's something wrong with that. I want to help people become successful themselves.
By inheriting billions of dollars.
Yeah.
God. I've worked without a salary. What did he make last year? That's the point. He makes that much money doing nothing.
Dividend, yeah, on his interest.
Yeah.
Okay.
And speaking fees, which is next to nothing. Only $400,000.
This is not like he worked in like a coal mine for free for a few years. Oh, thank you, Mittens. Thank you. That's the whole point about why the tax structure is unfair, because you make millions and millions of dollars doing nothing.
For doing nothing.
Okay, Mittens.
We're not going to be successful in replacing an economic lightweight if we nominate an economic lightweight.
Ooh,
and I'm an economic heavyweight. Oh. I know how this economy works. I'm going to get it working for the American people because I care about the American people.
I love when he tries to sound butch.
Yeah. Grr.
I'm a heavyweight.
Woof.
Oh, boy. All right.
I can send businesses overseas like nobody's business.
Mittens, understandably, not a fan of the brokered convention?
Yeah.
It's almost like he's not confident in his own popularity.
Look, we're not going to go to a brokered convention.
We're not.
One or the other of us, among the three or four that are running, is going to get the delegates necessary to become the nominee.
Cute.
As it gets closer towards the end, it's going to be clear we've got someone who's in the strong lead. The states that remain will vote for that person, and that person will get the delegates and become our nominee.
Mm. Oh, well, okay.
Yeah. I'll make sure of that.
By then he will have identified several more objects that he likes. I just have to hear the pancakes again.
Okay.
It's just a string
of
awkward moments.
Just
for
the right height. Or just the right amount of syrup.
These are pancakes. I'm in Rosemont, Illinois. I just got these pancakes from a restaurant called Pancakes Egg Cetera. It's kind of a play on words.
Oh,
and
my
pancakes
goodness.
Apparently are very good. And a nice crowd there did Fox and Friends this morning. So we're off now to Puerto Rico.
Oh, God.
That's almost Palin-esque.
I get it.
These are pancakes. They
pancakes,
sit on a plate.
Eggs, etc.
I have a knife
there's
and fork.
There's a little unintentional humor in there.
There's a pitcher of syrup, which I'm going to pour on them. I bet they're good.
I'm told that's how you eat pancakes.
People who eat pancakes tell me that's how it's done.
I don't know whether to blame his natural awkwardness or maybe Twitter, because
yeah.
Anyone is interested in,
I think in 140 characters or
these
less.
These are pancakes that I am eating. Okay.
And they're all excellent.
Right. Oh, excellent. That's a play on words.
See what
friends.
I did there? Ooh. Okay. Oh heavens.
God.
Oh, frothy the Santorum.
And money isn't going to buy this election. Vision and character and authenticity and trust are going to buy this election. Win this election.
Are you accusing someone in the race of being inauthentic? Frothy.
Frothy.
Come on.
Frothy Santorum.
Okay. Rick Santorum on He and Romney.
Governor Romney and I had both said that we would like English as the official language of this country, yet when Governor Romney went to Puerto Rico, he said, "Oh no, you don't have to speak English if you come into the as a requirement to be a state." Yet he wants English to be the official language of this country. This is the hypocrisy of Mitt Romney to go and pander for votes, knowing full well that there's no way he would stand for that as Puerto Rico coming into statehood.
Wow, what a waste of breath that was.
Exactly.
They learn English in Puerto Rico in school.
Yes.
They all speak English and Spanish.
They all speak both, exactly. He's just... and panderer, really? Mitt Romney? Come on.
Pandering.
I like grits.
I like seeing the lakes. I love the lakes. I love cars.
Are you just looking at things and saying that you love them?
Is it a wrong man or will you vote for me? It took him years to get.
$10,000
bet.
I'm running for office for Pete's sake.
I like grits.
I like seeing the lakes. I love the lakes. I love cars. Are you just looking at things and saying that you love them?
Very special here. The Great Lakes, but also all the little inland lakes.
Do you really love the lamp, or are you just saying it because you saw it?
I love lamp.
What was that from?
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
I think that was Anchorman, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Helena in Chicago. Hey, Helena.
Hi.
Hey.
So, Mitt Romney, gets underneath my skin, but he says, you know, he didn't make any money, which you're right, he did inherit a lot of money, and he made money. Where he gets his money from, and what people just don't understand and don't get, is he got money, his business is taking advantage of people that are in bad situations, the companies that are going under, and
right.
He buys them up for pennies on the dollar. And people are stupid to think that, you know, he's going to do anything for anybody that is in a bad situation when all he cares about is being a predator.
Yeah.
That's all he is.
Yep, exactly. Well said. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I need to call my 89-year-old Republican mom, because Rita Redner's on the show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
My mom desperately wishes I could be. Stephanie, why can't you be more like that Rita Redner? She doesn't work blue.
Maybe she'll work blue tomorrow just to...
Just so I can send the tape to my mom. Yeah. See? Yeah. She is filthy, Mom. 1-800...
I don't think a filthy thought has ever entered Rita Redner's head.
She wears a dress. Why can't you do that? All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, too.
Yeah, I can't imagine you wearing pants while doing stand-up comedy. I mean,
a dress.
Yeah.
No. How am I going to crawl over people's laps and grope them? And do the teabagging demonstration, for God's sakes.
Exactly.
All right. Laura in L.A. Hey, Laura.
Hey there. I can't wait to see you guys in July in L.A.
Awesome. Maybe I'll wear a dress just for the teabagging demonstration.
Oh. Well, I called to say, if you listen to that clip about Santorum, he was saying money wasn't going to buy the election, but then he had a whole list of things, and he said that those things would buy the election. Mm-hmm. And then he realized the mistake and said win the election.
Right. Did you hear that,
oh,
Steph?
Yes. Wow. Let's hear that again, in fact.
I heard that.
All right, hang on.
Money isn't going to buy this election. Vision and character and authenticity and trust are going to buy this election. Win this election.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of money.
Yep, I heard it. Thanks, Laura. You know what? I'm just I misspoke. David in Minneapolis. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama. You know, I was back to earlier. You're talking about the likes of Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh, and these guys are, you know, always. Everybody talks about their money. I heard earlier talking about how it's all the money these people make, millions of dollars every year in Bruce Show. But I'm not convinced it's just about the money for these people. They're all about power. They get off. That's their aphrodisiac. They are so, so high on their ability to think that they are influencing millions and millions of people, as well as who gets to be elected president. And so, you know, the likes of Romney, who has no backbone, that an MRI would show nothing there.
Yes.
Of course, he and his ilk are not going to do anything to get rid of their evangelists for their gods that they worship of money and power. These guys are all about that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the spokespeople for them. They're the ones who say the things that they can't say themselves but hold as their own personal belief. It's just, it's really remarkable and just distasteful. Oh, and
yep.
One other thing. I was watching, I was reading through a New Yorker magazine recently, and I saw this great cartoon, and it's a campaign sign for Romney. It says, okay, fine, all right, Romney.
Yeah, perfect. That's about the level of enthusiasm. Whatever. Good. By the way, I was talking earlier about how aggressively dumb Donald Trump is.
Yes.
Did you see
hugely
this one?
Hugely dumb. Huge.
Hugely.
The extent of my ignorance is huge.
I have to give it up for people that are that energetically stupid, that put that much energy into it.
You know what? They commit to it and they own it. So you got to respect that.
Yeah. President Obama recently characterized clean energy cynics in the GOP as members of the Flat Earth Society. Donald Trump, proving his point. He told Fox News' Neil Cavuto, wind is destroying the environment in many, many places.
What? How? Wind
power can't be any good because there are tornadoes, I guess is his
just
point.
Just like solar doesn't work because the sun, notoriously unreliable. Some days it comes up, some days it doesn't. People are going crazy over the horrible, noisy, disgusting windmills. And they are horrible, and a horrible intrusion ruining communities, and solar is weak and has not been effective and is very, very expensive.
Weak. Yeah, effective.
Yeah, there's
See?
One in
That's
Spain.
Yeah, sun, they're unreliable, wind, destroying the world.
Yeah, there's. I can barely hear myself through the din when I'm driving to Palm Springs because of all those windmills.
Yes.
What the hell is he talking about?
I've never been there, but I understand the noise is huge.
It's a huge noise.
He said, somebody was saying, yes, that probably is what it has to do with, is his battle in Scotland to prevent wind turbines from obstructing the view on his planned golf resort.
Ah, well. Is he still planning that stupid golf resort?
Apparently.
Wow. We've been talking about it since the show started, I think.
By the way, we have actually. Romney, by the way, I think we mentioned this earlier, in an unfortunate choice of words, said you can't drive a car with a windmill on it. No, we all know you need a Irish setter. Up there.
Maybe his car was Irish setter powered. You don't know that.
I still can't ever get over that story, dog lover that I am. It just makes me.
Now, hope he found a good home in Canada, eh? because he ran away after that.
That's what we're told. All right. Frothy the Santorum on the president.
He has gone out and put partisan bill after partisan bill together. No cooperation, no consultation, jamming it down the throats of the American people, whether they liked it or not. Trying to impose his will.
He got no cooperation from the Republicans, whose sole goal is to deny the second term.
Wow.
Oh, you're a liar. You're just a liar. Yeah. You always were.
Okay. That's, wow, that is just completely the opposite of the truth.
Yes.
Okay. By the by, I love this story. I don't know why. Margaret Thatcher was so fascinated by Ronald Reagan's doodlings.
Uh-huh.
He was a doodler. But she snatched and kept a page of his doodles from a G7 summit. Her papers were just released on Saturday. The page of ink drawings among personal papers from 1981 that were just released. Reagan left the piece of paper sitting on a table at the meeting near Ottawa, Canada in July 1981. It is adorned with a scribbled eye, a man's muscular torso.
What?
Huh?
And several heads, including one that looks like a self-portrait.
Yeah, I saw that one. It kind of did look like a self-portrait.
It's just weird.
Ooh-de-doo-de-doo. So bored. La-de-da. I don't know what these people are yakking about. Blah, blah, blah. I don't speak European. Just gonna draw on my notepad. Well, hey, that looks like me. I like my hair. I have Superman hair. Da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da. Wish I had Superman's torso. Used to, back when I was in Hellcats of the Navy. Dive, dive, ooga, ooga. I can't draw submarines. Too many straight lines. I know. I'll draw a naked picture of Maggie Thatcher. Big saggy boobies. I'll bet she has saggy boobies. I used to be president of SAG. Uh-oh, she's looking over here. Better tear that one up.
Mr. President, do you have something to add?
Nope. Just taking some notes. Gotta go. Got a thing with a guy. Hope she didn't see the boobies.
Weird there was audio available with the release of the papers. That's interesting.
Are you saying Ronald Reagan thought that she looked like a man underneath her blouse?
I'm not suggesting that at all.
It's a man, baby.
At least he knew she was in charge of the government, so.
Well, there is that.
Republicans have gotten even dumber.
No.
Talking to you, Caribou Barbie. All right.
Flippin' awesome.
It's just a man's muscular torso.
That's odd.
Just something we didn't know about the
Big
Dipper.
It was a self-portrait.
Oh, yeah, could have been. Okay. All right. That just didn't seem like the kind of doodles that, you know, would be allowed in today's Republican Party.
Not at all.
No. All right.
You wouldn't find Santorum doodling that at
all. No. Well, actually, you probably would.
You might.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Danette in Georgia. Hey, Danette.
Hey, Steph. How are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I am I'm convinced that the right wing of the Republican Party, and I'm talking about the neocons, they're all certifiable. They all need to be locked up in their own cuckoo's nest. The drivel that's coming out of their mouth, the lies, nobody's calling them on it, and it's all Oompa Loompa pie in the sky crap. $2.50 a gallon for gas.
Yeah.
Okay, sure, whatever you say. Let's bomb Iran. Okay. They're nuts.
Yeah.
They're nuts.
Yes, which, by the way, would probably tend to make gas prices go
jack them up. Yes. Even speculation of bombing Iran could drive gas prices up.
Yes, mm-hmm. And Newt explained
shut down to the Strait of Hormuz.
As he explained to Sheldon Adelson, his sugar daddy, how bombing Iran is going to lead to 250 gas.
No.
Computer says no.
Didn't think so. All right.
Details have a liberal bias. Mm-hmm. There's no need to go.
Yes. Go to liberalbias.com.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the regular old website. SexyLiberal.com, the sexy liberal website. Oh, Roland, high-strung tour director. Albuquerque, we have some last-minute, very, very affordable seats in the balcony.
Yep.
$22.
Whoa.
What? All right. Go to Sexy Liberal Facebook or Twitter for the link so that you don't go to the scalping sites or whatever, because tickets look like for March 31st will be gone very soon. So go. Get it. Get it.
Progressives of the Great Southwest, prepare to take a left in Albuquerque.
I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
Because by popular demand, the comedy phenomenon that is captivating the nation, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, is making its Albuquerque debut.
That's the kind of bold flavor they enjoy in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. On March 31st. Just in time for election year insanity and frivolity, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at Pope Joy Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com or by calling 1-877-664-8661. New Mexico, come experience liberal laughs of nuclear proportions.
You said nuclear. It's nuclear, dummy. The S is silent.
Duke City, you can't miss this.
And try the pozole while you're there.
Yes.
Great pozole in New Mexico.
All right. Yummy. Oh, can I show my prop again that I showed earlier in the show? I'm just really excited because I'm such a political geek. So I went to a big fancy Hollywood do. Over for the Human Rights Campaign, which does amazing work. Chelsea Handler was hosting it, and Charlize Theron. What?
What? Nah, they. Hmm. Yeah, Chelsea Handler was hosting.
Yes. All right. What's your point?
I don't know.
Okay.
You stopped down. I didn't.
Okay. Yes, Charlize Theron won an award, and so did Chris Matthews. Yes. He and his lovely wife, Kathleen, who I got to chat with, and you could tell we bonded together like the only political geeks in the room, because you could tell he's like, these people in Hollywood, they don't understand politics. They know nothing. And so we just bonded over, you know, just political geek history stuff, brokered conventions and, you know,
so was
Rockefeller and Goldwater and just, yeah.
Was your girlfriend trapped talking to his wife about what?
No,
that wives
Chris Matthews,
talk about?
I'm not sure he even knows who I am every time he sees me, because he's, even though he's been on the show many times and I've been on his show, he's like, are you gay? I was like, yes, this is my girlfriend. Okay, fair enough. But here's, I just thought, can I have my love music? Because I just thought this was so cute and touching. Is he, hang on, let me look up the number here. Look, Chris Matthews gave me his card. He's like, I really like you. I don't know what it is. Here's my card. And look, it says Christopher Matthews, anchor, Hardball with Chris.
Like we don't know.
Like I don't know that.
I'll have to check that out.
Oh, well. I watch it every day. I was like, oh, I just thought it was really cute. It was endearing that he had a card. And he gave it to me. Here.
Well, people have cards.
Casey, forget who I am. Fair enough.
I don't think it's out of the ordinary that
he handed
you
his card.
Lisa was
like, he loves you. He was just, we were transfixed with each other. Anyway, congratulations to he and his wife, because they are gay allies, apparently. Both done a lot of work.
Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently his wife is a big-time newscaster on the ABC affiliate in D.C.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, indeed. All right. Oh, by the way, I was saying for some reason it was a racist email weekend for me. I guess because I called it, what, Cracker? Well, now I'm going to get more of these. Here's another story about Crackerland. Crackerland, sucking the lifeblood of the nation. Yes, it's true. Buzzflash at Truthout documented a short time ago the state of Mississippi sucks up $2.73 in federal support for every dollar its residents pay in national taxes. Thank you, Crackerland. People that don't want government handouts, blah, 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 blah. All right, so apparently I'm a big racist for using the word cracker.
I've heard.
So I just have to show these again to the Ustream because these are real. This one is from, as I said earlier, it's T-Z-S-T-T. That's his handle. Subject line, Obama. How does Obama's whole taste, you stupid. Different C word than. Crack. Okay, Stephen writes, no subject line here, although it's caps down below, just in case. You and your Marxist N-word, Obama. Oh, and then he goes on. Without exception, Marxists are enemies of the United States Constitution. Death to all Marxists, foreign and domestic. So I guess that would include me and the...
I tweeted a picture of that. So if you want to see the actual email, go to my Twitter feed at Radio Guy Chris.
Awesome.
Yep.
I'm a Groucho Marxist. Does that mean I'm an enemy of the state?
I posted
against it.
I posted that on Twitter just as an example of the cogent debate that we get from the right.
Yes. So there. Wow, what a weekend. Okay. Sometimes I just, like, I have my phone with me. I just show it to people. I'm like, look at the kind of email. Look at this.
Yeah.
People are shocked. I'm like, another day for me.
Yeah.
What day is it? Of course I'm a racist C word. All right.
At least it didn't mention, you know, your sexual preference or anything like that. That's kind of unusual.
No, I'm sure it will now.
Yeah, now that you spent time at a gay event with Chris Matthews.
Who didn't know I was gay? All right.
No.
Okay. Hey! And he yelled it, like, at a gay event.
This is
Are
gay
you
event?
Gay?
And everybody turns around and says, yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Why, yes. Well, yes.
Is everybody...
Not
yes.
me!
You're at a gay event, yes.
Everybody gay!
Yes.
Yes.
God,
that's yes.
You're getting a big gay award, yes.
It's a gay event. I had no idea. All right, fair enough.
All right. Speaking of the social media, when will people learn not to put things on the Facebook? Thief who took judge's nameplate undone by Facebook.
Because no one ever reads.
Yeah. Authorities in South Florida say a man is facing charges after he was seen in a photo on Facebook holding a judge's stolen nameplate.
Smart.
Look what I got. Look what I got. I got the judges. Huh? There's somebody at the door. Oh, it's the police. Hang on.
It's the po-po.
Oh, boy. Oh, you know, can I have my dating game music? You know, we love when we do love hookups, Jim, on the... I think I can make this happen. Because I think I had a previous future wife on my future wife list. I think I will have to relinquish her because I found another future wife for her. I refer to the woman that had a meth lab in her pants.
Yes. Yes.
As you do.
Actually, there's two choices for this particular woman, because the woman before that was making meth in Walmart.
Right.
For several hours. That must be hard to find help in Walmart, because she was making meth in Walmart several hours before she was
discovered.
It is
hard to find help in Walmart.
Well, hello. They just, it occurs to us someone's been making meth for 6 hours in aisle five or whatever. Okay, and then the other woman was arrested, and she told the arresting officer she had a meth lab in her pants. This is a Mesa woman. A woman hid meth in her bra. Mesa woman arrested a woman Wednesday on suspicion of stealing from Sears and hiding two bags of meth in her bra.
Wow.
So,
okay.
She may not, you know what I'm saying? She may not know Walmart meth woman because she makes her meth in Sears.
It's Sears.
Yes,
she has the
where
Sears.
America makes meth.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, they may not, unless they're listening now, there comes the hookup.
She has the Sears franchise for meth in that area.
Right. And the other woman only makes it privately in her own pants.
Right.
Robin Brunson, 42, admitted she stole a curtain and some clothing. She also showed the officer.
Curtain?
Yeah. She also showed the officer two small bags in her bra and told him they contained crystal methamphetamine. You know what? People on meth seem to be really overly chatty with the police. I don't think the officer would have known to ask, by the way, do you have a meth lab in your pants?
Well, when one apparently is doing meth, one gets chatty.
Really chatty.
Really, really chatty.
I mean, who would even have to ask that? By the way, is there a meth lab in your pants?
Maybe
go!
Maybe all of the test tubes and bottles and stuff were clanking around and...
You got a meth lab in your pants? You're just happy to see me.
Could happen.
I don't know if there's any relation, but also in my crime stack, Lisa Lavoy.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Lisa Lavoy.
I have a cousin named Lisa Lavoy. I had to check to see if it was the same one. Yeah.
Is it the same one?
No. The
West Virginia, close to your home state of Virginia.
No. This Lisa Lavoy is from New England, and she ran off and joined... She ran off with a carny, and so we've never heard from her.
That's the cousin that ran off with the carny.
Wow. That's Lisa, yeah.
That's why Chris's career in radio doesn't seem as bad. I didn't run off with a carny. Yes, I work with that slut Stephanie Miller,
right.
But
actually,
you know.
She ran up with Art Carney. So.
Which is even worse.
It's worse.
All right. Lisa Lavoie, the former Holyoke teacher who pled guilty after having a relationship with a student, has been charged with violating her probation after the student she had a relationship with was found hiding in her closet.
Well.
Could have been innocent.
Hmm.
She ran off with one of her students back in February. He was 15 at the time. The pair was found several days later in a motel room in West Virginia. A probation officer conducted an unannounced spot check at her residence. While there, the officer found the male victim, who is now 18, hiding in the closet.
Hmm.
Lisa Lavoie, that's almost... Tom Brokaw could have done that story simultaneously with Mary Kay.
Mary Kay Turner.
And her lover.
Lover, Lisa Lavoie.
Lisa,
all right.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human antidepressant. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Dan in Chicago. Hi, Dan.
Hello, kids. It's the official storm-chasing chauffeur of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hooray!
Thank you.
Hey, the email the guy was talking about Marxism.
Yes.
He said in it, death to all Marxists, and it included the president and you.
Yes.
So shouldn't that be forwarded to, say, the Secret Service as a death threat?
Yep.
Yeah, that would seem somewhat concerning. Yeah, all Marxists, foreign and domestic. He apparently would be the foreign one, not being, of course, American-born, and I would be the domestic one, I'm guessing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but in either case, death to both of us. Okay, yeah, good, good, thank you. Whew, to wade through all the N-words and C-words and that to even get to the death threat. Death threat wasn't until the end.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, the owner, the creator of Red Bull has died, Jim.
So, I guess Red Bull does give you wings.
Hey,
what?
You see?
Huh? See, because he's...
It's an angel joke.
But I bet he did it faster and with more energy than most of us will.
The only time I drink Red Bull is with vodka.
Oh, I've never been drinking it. Okay, wow, what is this Coney thing? I had to ask you about it.
Yeah, it's a viral video that went around really, really fast last week. It's now the most viewed video on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's just highlighting the atrocities that have gone on in Uganda.
Right.
Yeah, and the guy behind them.
Yes, Coney, right. So Gawker brings us the story, though, of Jason Russell, the co-founder of Invisible Children and the father of a 5-year-old featured in the viral Coney video. He was detained in San Diego for being drunk in public and masturbating.
There's video.
Yes, there is.
Oh, really?
There's video.
Oh.
Yes, his wife blames it on all the attention that was brought upon him in the last week.
Okay.
Is that how you work off steam, Jim? Just curious. Wow-wee.
Yeah.
All right. There's a joke in here somewhere about me being raised in Western New York by Republicans. Hungry, sex-crazed swines terrorize New York. A group of feral pigs are plaguing upstate New York, ravaging crops and ground-nesting birds, breeding like crazy and generally causing a gross ruckus all over up in Mama's hometown area.
Like an episode of Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. By the way... I agree with everything Al Gore says. Don't you guys?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Absolutely.
I actually do. It has nothing to do with the fact that we apparently are starting on Current TV on Monday.
A week from today.
Yes. Wow.
According to my TiVo.
Depending on how this week goes.
Well.
And they're getting us used to the Klieg lights now.
Yes. Every day I come in, there's more and more light in here. This is really disturbing. for a woman of my advanced years. Didn't I ask for just lamps with scarves over them? I don't understand why. I explain my entrance to the people and I don't, there's...
Let's get one thing straight and we'll get along fine. My entrance. Yeah. Lights first, then music, then the door, then the carpet. If a mistake is made, someone's head will roll. Would you like to guess whose?
Can you pull back any further? How do you feel about Cleveland?
You just, there's this, I don't know, on Ustream, you can see there's this thing behind me. It's like the light, it's like Times Square. It's,
yeah.
You were like, turned it on, and I went... This is nuts.
It's so they can put logos up inside.
Apparently.
Yes.
Yikes. That's a wowee. That's too much light for Mama.
Well, it's you're going to have to probably get used to it very soon.
Okay.
Maybe
anyways.
We'll do the show with it on tomorrow.
By the way, Al Gore, what he was talking about, he's for changing the Senate's increasingly unworkable filibuster rule, though he expressed pessimism that doing so is an achievable goal. As he noted, several Democratic senators tried a novel approach at the beginning of this Congress, and it was squelched. Gore expressed more optimism, however, that social media and other internet advocacy tools can be used to put pressure on elected officials to do the right thing. Not while we have these Republicans in office. They seem immune to that, don't they?
Right. They can't be shamed.
I mean, that's what I don't think. If people don't marinate in this stuff like we do, they don't get that it has been abused and used in the word unprecedented is used too many times, but it is really unprecedented.
Yeah.
The obstructionism. It's not normal obstructionism.
Well, they've all admitted that their sole goal is to deny Obama a second term.
Yeah.
And they'll do whatever they have to do that.
Yeah. Once again, Al Gore was just saying, just bring it up, because Al Gore, with exquisite taste in broadcasting, unless I'm fired before I start.
Which is entirely possible.
Based on past.
You keep flashing up that C word, N word email that
getting
you got
it
in.
All out of my system
okay.
This week.
Okay. All right. Just warning you.
Can't they pixelate that on the TV?
No. You know, I... thinking maybe we've made a serious mistake. Would it be wrong for me to say I want a recount?
You see, because.
Because. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, how come you ain't got boobs? You like a runner or something?
Absolutely. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The president, under pressure from many in his own party about the issue of same-sex marriage, came out against an amendment to ban same-sex marriage and civil unions in the crucial swing state of North Carolina. They're putting trying to get that on the ballot there. Do you think he is or is not going to come out for marriage equality before the election?
I don't think he is. I think he's a play.
I'm just saying evolving. What does that mean?
No, he's not.
And how fast?
No, he's not going to come out in favor of it. After the election, when he's safe and sound, yes.
All right. I'm still saying we've made more progress on gay rights under him than under all of the previous presidents.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
However, everything is not instantaneous.
I mean, if it's him and frothy especially, dear God. All right. We were talking to Eric Bolin earlier about how it is amazing they won't let up on Sander Fluke on the right wing. I mean, it really is incredible. Given especially that the whole narrative is false, that she was talking about her own sex life or asking the taxpayers to pay for it or whatever. Gawker writes, Tea Party spaz ties...
I love Gawker.
I just love that right there.
Yeah.
Tea Party spaz. Ties Sander Fluke to vast Jewish socialist conspiracy. Oh, we need some conspiracy music for this.
Yeah, we need some Jewish music.
Yeah. A man named Brooks Bain is freaking out about Sander Fluke's Jewish boyfriend on a Tea Party blog called The Graph.
So she has a Jewish boyfriend.
What is that? Any of your business.
Anyone familiar with Boston, New York political history knows about a wealthy Mutter Pearl family's long tradition of supporting the typical Jewish variant of socialism. Oh, there it is. Adam Mutter Pearl is the son of one of the most well-connected leftist Jewish families on the East Coast, with ties to neo-Marxist Brandeis University as decades-old donors, and whose father's Bill Mutter Pearl worked directly for Paul Volcker, one of Obama's pals advisors, Keynesian stimulus bill architects.
Keynesian.
Gawker says, no. Oh, those Kenyan. Jews, so Kenyan. Rich and so socialist at the same time. Isn't that the point?
And Marxist, apparently.
Yeah.
Keynesian and Marxist aren't the same thing.
This is just, it's getting all too twisty for me, the whole way.
That's someone really grasping at straws and failing miserably.
Yes.
See, the Kenyan guy knows a Keynesian Jew who knows the standard of, you know, you got nothing.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one. Right-wing pundits smear Soledad O'Brien as anti-Semitic and racist for her Breitbart video interview last week. Well, you remember she had a Breitbart.com guy on, what's his name, Joel Pollack.
Yep.
Right. Set off a vitriolic name-calling against O'Brien from the far right. Yes, she had challenged his assertion that this, you remember, this dud video that was supposed to be the big smoking gun.
Obama hugging a Harvard professor.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. So O'Brien accurately characterized critical race theory as a theory that looks into the intersection of race and politics and the law.
Right.
It is not.
It's a valid theory.
Yes. Of course, he was, they were trying to say it's a ball about, you know, white supremacy is the order, it must be overthrown.
But it is not.
Yes, no, that was not. Pollack, in his eagerness to hype his bombshell video, mischaracterized critical race theory as a radical theory that calls for war against white people. Animosity on the far right has been pointed at Soledad O'Brien. They always personalize this stuff for his inaccurate statements. Chris Loesch, your friend. Dana Loesch's husband.
Yeah, the one who used the N-word in a joke rap at CPAC.
Yes.
That one?
Mm-hmm.
The one he claims he didn't say he said the N-word, but then I showed him the video of it.
Yeah, he tweeted, apologize to Joel Pollack for allowing your panel to call him a racist yet? And then he wrote, she won't apologize because it's cool and edgy to be an anti-Semitic leftist right now.
What?
What?
Anti-Semitic?
Huh? What?
What? What
the extreme right wing are anti-Semitic?
Yes.
I mean, they
have political dyslexia. These people.
This was only the latest incredibly racist thing to come out. This thing all over Facebook, the bumper stickers, which are real.
Yeah.
It's a picture of. I can't believe that was. Oh, that's just that was Photoshop. There are bumper stickers.
Brought to you by Stumpy Stickers.
Thank you. That say, "Don't renege in 2012." Yeah. Spelled
can,
with a
spelled
yeah,
not,
yes,
you can,
spelled,
yeah.
Yes, probably
yeah,
spell
and then it's you know Obama sign with an X through it,
right.
And don't yes, I mean incredible, and you know, and they try to even explain that away, like well, oh, that's not racist. Like what? It was sold at a website with a bunch of other really racist stuff.
Which proves that Soledad O'Brien's a left-wing, right-wing,
anti-Semitic
racist, sure. Exactly.
Well, Nazi, cultural Nazi.
Nazi. What? Justin in Orange County. Hi, Justin.
Hey.
Hey.
First of all, can I be the official stunt driver for the Stephanie Moore Show?
Oh, cool.
All right.
We needed one.
Cool. Awesome.
So we all need one of those.
Yeah.
And second, I am getting so tired of this term mitmentum. It is the lamest thing I've ever heard. It's like, personally, I've been so overwhelmed with mitmentum, I've come down with a chronic case of Fred Thompson.
Yes,
and
me
I just can't get rid of it, you know.
Yeah, it's electrifying.
But, and last but not least, I have tickets to the meet and grow up in L.A.
Oh, for the Pantages.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to forewarn all of you because my wife kind of has a thing for all the mooks.
Yes.
And, of course, I have a thing for you, Steph, so you should probably wear a chastity belt because I fully intend to find out how dusty those eggs are.
Yes,
but,
awesome.
My wife has a thing for, obviously, John Howe.
Yes.
She loves Jim when he does her impressions, but she has a real thing for Chris.
Yes.
Oh, hello.
And
hi.
I was like, really, honey? And she goes, well, look, the guy's got guns. He's got, you know, buns of steel. And I'm like, well, but babe, I'm not really sure if he'd fully appreciate me groping him. And she's like, well, why? I go, well, I don't think it would be, you know, it's exactly appropriate. So she looks at me with this, like, look of total disdain and contempt and says, well, I don't really care. He's got a great ass, and I'm getting me some.
All right. Bring it. Look at her. Thank you, baby. Thank you.
She's a slut.
Bring her along.
Look at her. Slut.
All right.
The word's barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the wrong guns. What up? Hmm? All right. Arizona. By the way, we were saying that the website, don't
renig.com,
whatever, was traced to an anonymous person in Arizona.
Yeah, in Scottsdale.
Scottsdale, Arizona.
Huh.
Hmm. So weird. Arizona makes another attempt at government birtherism.
Yep.
Without saying as much, Arizona officials are working on yet another birther bill. This is the latest of several attempts made by the state to try and prove the myth that Obama is not an American citizen. This time, an Arizona legislative committee is pushing a measure that will require presidential candidates to fill out an eligibility form before they can be put on Arizona's ballot. By the way, one of the endless attempts by Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio to prove that the president is not a citizen. He's been planning to try to keep Obama off the ballot in 2012 for nearly a year now.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Can I say one thing to him? I saw him on TV a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
P90X.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Check into it. Salad bars, something. Okay.
Actually, there's a lot of stuff on salad bars that's really high calorie.
And it's all you can eat. So
yeah, so I don't know that I would send him to an all-you-can-eat salad bar.
All right. Let's go to Yvonne in Schenectady, New York. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi,
how you doing?
Hi, Moose. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
First of all, I was telling you, a screener, that my daughter and I are going to see a sexy liberal show in June at the Wilbur Theater in Boston.
Yay.
Right? Okay. And the Don't Renig thing. I wasn't even going to call in until I heard you mention that, but I was fired from my job in Schenectady in September for complaining about that kind of thing. They put those signs up all over the building, and they did all kinds of things like that. And just so you know, I think it's prevalent. I mean, it got me, so I'm sure a lot of people are suffering through that.
From what?
From the racist signs.
Yeah, yeah.
Obama hate stuff. I mean, I have had every lawsuit form put in front of my nose. I mean,
yeah, but Yvonne, don't you think? I mean, I've been saying this over and over. There's just, it really is almost incredible to me, just the degree of racism that has been exhibited, I think, toward this president. And this is just when you think it can't get worse, you're like, really? Someone put that on their car, and they think that's okay in 2012.
Well, the thing is that people, like for me personally, people I've known for 10, 15 years, all of a sudden have just turned cold. Just they said they could not get past it. My coworkers just couldn't get past it, and in the end, I wound up losing out. They're all, I wasn't a victim of the recession. I was hired for insubordination because I just thought, why are you guys allowing this to go on? And they said, well, we don't know what you're talking about, but it was right there in front of me.
Yeah. You know, yep. All right.
All that kind of stuff. The code words,
Yeah, well, now they're not even bothering with code words, really. Jerry in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jer.
Hey, sexy mother effer.
Oh, well, hello now.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, remember me? I attended the last year's Sexy Liberal Show.
Oh, awesome.
All right, listen, you brought up Soledad O'Brien earlier.
Yeah.
You know what I predict? I predict that they're going to be white people, conservative white people, emailing Soledad O'Brien asking, you've done this Black in America and Latino in America specials on CNN. When are you going to host a special on what it's like to be white in America?
You know what? Every day on CNN, it tells you what it's like to be white in America. I don't think you need a special.
Exactly. By the way, did you hear this story? It's just racism and an idiocy really is not owned by one race. Did you see this, Alan West? This guy is just such a piece of work.
Yeah.
He is the Republican. He's the teabaggy Republican congressman from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
CNN anchor, speaking of CNN, anchor John King asked Mr. West how he felt about being a black congressman during Black History Month. Wow.
I shudder to think what he said.
Self-hating much? He said, in light of this month being Black History Month, I feel no way involved with this Negro celebration of half accomplishments and borderline communist agendas.
What?
View the list of these fearless leaders of Black America. Black inhabitants of America knew their place at the table and knew they could not eat off the same plate of the more than welcoming white men and women of the time. These men, I use that term lightly, like Malcolm X, pushed themselves into the homes of innocent white Americans. This action riled up the Negro and scared the living hell out of people. I am in no way a part of this community of transported Africans. I myself am American. I'm a good old boy from the great state of Florida and a citizen of this great nation. I know God recognizes me as my true self, a proud, strong white man given dark pigmentation.
Wow.
God had to give the blacks at least one intelligent person, so he chose to give me dark skin.
Oh, my God.
I curse my birth as a black man every day. I'm black by birth, not by choice.
Yikes.
It will be all be sorted out when my name is called and I step in front of the great white Jesus himself.
Oh, dear.
Who is it?
God.
Who, by the way?
Wow.
You are an idiot.
See, I wonder if he's gotten any mail. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I want to do bad things.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, I got had.
Yeah, you did.
You were punked.
Damn, I was punked. Because Alan West said so many ridiculous things. One would believe
right.
that. Apparently that just hit Snopes. That's what we're hearing from people that he did not say...
It was taken from a satirical website.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. You can Google a lot of other things that were pretty close, right. though, that Alan Winston said. All right, but he
that's
did not
That makes a good satire, that it seems plausible.
Well, that's the definition of good satire.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. I apologize. But that's the thing. It's just, you can't tell it any days, particularly with the teabaggers, what headlines are real and
right.
what are. I was just talking this morning about some of these conspiracy theories that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one? Texas Senate candidate Ted Cruz spouts paranoid fantasy about the United Nations George Soros conspiracy to eliminate golf. That is not a joke.
Yeah.
That doesn't think progress. It's just, what? He's working with Soledad O'Brien.
Right, clearly.
And the noted anti-Semitic George Soros to eliminate golf.
Soledad O'Brien, that's like being Irish and Hispanic at the same time and
that's
maybe a little African, too. That's an American. Oh, wait. No, it's
never
just
mind.
The opposite of an American.
Yeah, that's very American.
Oh, dear. Mitch McConnell votes against a highway bill he said he'd worked to pass. You know what? Yertle, once again, the party votes against their own self-interest. He's voting against...
Turtle tunnels. I previously was in favor of turtle tunnels for obvious reasons, but since Obama is for them...
Any senator would be for...
Turtle tunnel.
I'd rather spin on my back than be denied lettuce for the rest of my 200-year lifespan.
I love the little whistle on the S words when you do your...
Yeah. Turtle tunnel.
It's
like
little things.
Got a Cracker Jack whistle yeah. stuck in his...
What are you insinuating with my whistle?
Or he broke his tooth on a blue frozen banana.
What are you insinuating? Okay, then I'm going to replace Alan West with this douche as a douche of the week. Last week. This war on women is really getting exhausting.
Yeah.
More than 10 state legislatures are considering or have passed bills forcing women to receive an ultrasound before having an abortion, and one of Pennsylvania lawmakers are considering one of the most far-reaching ultrasound bills in the nation. Governor Tom Corbett, Republican, reaffirmed that he supports the anti-abortion measure so long as it's not obtrusive, because women can simply choose to close their eyes during the procedure.
Oh, my God.
Someone said, making them watch. Does that go too far in your mind? I'm not making anybody watch.
Do they have the option of closing their legs?
Okay, because you just have to close your eyes. Wow! Close your eyes, lay back, think of
close your
America.
Eyes and I can see you.
God.
Ew.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'll deny you access to contraception.
Yes. That doesn't scan very well.
No, it doesn't.
Wow, Gawker brings us the news. Lady Gaga's Twitter account is worth $30 million, according to some guy. For $20 million...
He gets 20, around, some guy.
20 yeah. million follower Twitter account, really worth 30 million. Some marketing expert quoted by the Wall Street Journal claims that. Gawker says, I would have this marketing expert evaluate my own Twitter account for comparison. I already know it's worth $9.78 and a bag of kettle chips. in the papers. we're up to, what are we up to between Stephanie Miller and what do you call it? Because it's the new, you know, who's is bigger is the social media. We're up to 80,000, I believe, between Stephanie Miller and Sexy Liberal.
Hmm.
Take that, Gaga. Okay. Oprah canceled Rosie. Oh, and I know from experience, Rosie, I feel your pain. When Oprah cancels you, you stay canceled. I think Oprah could cancel me from current before I even start next
Probably.
Week.
You are never coming to the meadow again.
Swamp. She has a swamp I got invited to for an Obama
She calls it her meadow.
She calls it a meadow. Yeah, you could. It said on the invitation, don't wear heels because you would sink.
In the meadow.
Yes, exactly. We didn't get to go anywhere near the house, only
no,
the swamp.
Of course not.
Mm. All right. And also, you didn't get to go anywhere near Oprah. Remember?
Well,
I tried to.
Yeah, that's her version of Secret Service kept you away.
I tried to go say hi to Gail King, who I know, and the security was like, not from behind. Don't approach Miss Winfrey.
Do not approach Miss Winfrey.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, then.
Yeah, she almost shimmed me.
Or from the side or the front.
No, don't approach her at all. Stay in your part of the swamp.
And didn't you have to park like 8 miles
yes,
away?
Yes, no, we had to take a shuttle bus. You couldn't get anywhere near her house. That's the whole reason you went is to see Oprah's house. Actor Russell Brand turned himself in to police after an arrest warrant was issued for him on a charge of simple criminal damage to property value.
On a charge of not being funny?
Being a douche.
I never found
him
funny.
He seems like kind of a douche. Maybe yeah. I'm just I'm just a huge Katy Perry fan, but he seems like a douche.
Yeah, I never found him funny.
A judge recently granted him a divorce from singer Katy Perry because he's a douche. Well. That's what the judge said. You can have a divorce because he's... Yeah, he TMZ says that the charges stem from a confrontation with a photographer who was trying to take his photo. Brand wrote, since Steve Jobs died, I cannot bear to see anyone use an iPhone irreverently. So what I did was a tribute to his memory.
Whatever.
I think that was his version of a joke.
I think so.
But, like I said, he's
not funny. I sometimes don't get
funny.
British humor.
But it was said with a British accent, which makes it charming and therefore
and
funny.
Wry.
And rakish.
Yeah.
Sarah in California. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just heard you mention one of my writer's article about Alan West.
Oh!
Oh!
Yeah! Yes. I got punked. It was too good.
I know. It's been going around the interwebs a lot lately. It's pretty... It's actually, when I saw it on Snopes, I was like, oh, dear, this has gone too far.
So what's the name of the website?
Freewood Post.
Freewood Post.
That's
okay.
Hilarious. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, Sarah, you know what we were saying? We literally have done, what, Chris, maybe 3 stories this morning that are just as ridiculous, and they are real.
This satire has become basically reality. You really can't tell. Yeah. I've had a few Santorum articles get Snoped as well. So it's pretty funny. I have a Mitt Romney one out now, right, too, that's... pretty viral as well.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Exactly.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
But it's kind of sad at the same time because it seems so real.
Oh, Sarah, my own life is evidence that there's a very fine line between tragedy and comedy. But thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. All right, that's it for us today. Don't forget tomorrow, comedian Rita Rudner and Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal from Esquire.com. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor, associate producer on Bones and Drums. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.